morning. Let's all stand together. We'll sing hymn number 15. Hymn number 15. Number 67. Hymn number 67.
Light arrayed the vast creation. How can it be?
Open your Bibles with me to Job chapter 23. I'll preach from Job tonight. This is one I stuck in my desk drawer to preach and found it this week. I skipped over this one. And so I found it and I thought, well, I'll preach it Sunday morning and finish up Job tonight out of 42. Ain't that something, you know, you prepare a mess, you stick it in a drawer and then find it 2 months later. Missed that one. But I want you to look with me here, starting at verse 10 to the end of the chapter. But he knoweth, he said he was looking for where God was. And he said in verse 8, I go forward, but he's not there. I go backward, and I can't perceive him. I look on my left hand, he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, and I cannot see him. Job can't see him, but look what he says. I can't find him. I'm searching for him. He's put me in such a place that I can't perceive God. But look what he says in verse 10. But he knows. God knows. I may not be able to find him and see him. I'm in such a dark place. But he knows the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, that's going to happen to everybody. That happens over and over and over again. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept, and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. Because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. Our most blessed, gracious, glorious God of eternal God and Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, you who inhabited eternity right now, and these heavens as far as we can see, and way, way, way beyond that, the heavens are your throne. And this little old celestial ball, or terrestrial ball that we live on here is your footstool. And Lord, we, as we consider you, Lord, we get lost in thought sometimes. We can't comprehend how glorious, how great, how wonderful, how majestic, how eternal, how powerful, how gracious, how loving, how wrathful, how justice, how righteous you are. But Lord, we are thankful for what we know about you. And we ask you to continue to teach us. Take your word and open to our hearts and our understanding. And Lord, save you people in this place with your gospel. And may the gospel go forth in great liberty and understanding. May it find a lodging place in our heart. And oh, it all said and done today, bring glory to yourself. Forgive us of everything that's so unlike you. Every thought, every motive, every attitude, every step. Oh Lord, forgive us for not having our hearts filled with you. And our minds overwhelmed with you. But Lord, that's why we're here today. We need you. We need you to do something for us. Need you to do it in our hearts, in our minds, in our wills, in our affections, in our very souls. Do for us, O Lord God, what only you can do. We ask these things in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's all stand together as we sing the hymn of the day in the bulletin. This fountain so
streams we are with.
explain it. I know his amazing grace. All right, back in Job here. Let's look together and see what the Lord would say to us today. See what the Lord would say. I get my subject there out of verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I esteemed his word, the word of his mouth, more than my necessary food. Job is a very unusual man. God spoke of him in James, and God spoke things about Job. Three or four men that God spoke highly of, and that was Abraham. He is a friend of God. Daniel, Noah, and Job. And Job, you know, they accused him of being a liar, being a hypocrite, being an awful sinner. And Job, it was impossible for him to defend his character, to convince men what God had done for him, because they was already convinced he's a hypocrite. And once a man thinks you're a hypocrite, there's nothing you can do for him. He's not going to change his mind. And these fellas never changed their mind about Job. Never changed their mind. But Job knew some things about God that these fellas didn't. He knew some things about God Almighty, and only God to be one that teaches that. And I tell you, here's the first thing that Job was conscious of about knowing God. It was back up there when he said in verse 10, he knows the way that I take. God himself knows. I don't know a whole lot about him, but he knows me. He said he knows the way that I'm going. He knows the way that I'm going. He knows the direction I'm going in. He knows the way that I take. He knows the way that I take. He knows exactly where I'm at and what I'm doing. And when he's tried me, he tried me. And Peter says this, he said, if it's necessary, if it need be, if it's necessary that through trials, through many trials, manifold temptations, if it's necessary, and God does this, that your faith may be tried and be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, that your faith may be as gold, be tried as gold. And he goes on to say here, and here's what he's conscious of. He's conscious of knowing God and God knowing him. He says, God even knows my foot hath held his step. Now when he talks about his foot, he's talking about the whole man. You know, wherever your foot takes you, the whole man's got to go with it. And that's what he's talking about. He's talking about my whole man. My whole man, look what he says, he has held his steps. Hath held his steps. And I tell you what, and when he talks about the steps, I think I preached on this a few weeks ago where he says, he knows he hath appointed my steps. God hath appointed each and every one of us steps. And there's not one step that we're going to take that God's not already ordered for us. There's not a step we're going to take in this life that God has not... Every one of us got so many steps. And when a baby first starts walking, everybody's just overjoyed at his first step. He just took his first step. Well, God's got so many set for that baby until he gets old and he takes his last step. And that's what Job is saying here. He knows that my foot has held his steps. My steps, those appointed for me to take. And I'm grateful that God knows our steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I'm grateful that we all have a certain amount of steps. I'm not going to take one less than I should, not one more than I should. I'm not going to be here one moment longer than I should, not than nobody else is. And I know that it's grievous. There's a young family that my heart is so heavy for. I think of them all the time. I pray for them as much as I possibly can. But his steps are very, very few. But his family's got to stay here and keep on stepping, keep on walking. But he says, my foots have held the steps of his providence. You know, God in his providence. Providence means just God's world. God's government in this world. God providing everything that's necessary for this world. And his providence just means that he governs things. He provides what's necessary for this world. And what he's saying is that I've not gone back from the steps of his providence. His providence sent that I should lose everything in this world. His providence ordered that I should lose my family. His providence has ordered that I should lose my wealth. His providence has ordered that I should lose my health. But what have I done? Have I stopped following him? Have I stopped walking? Have I quit walking? Have I give up? No, whatever steps God's ordered for me in the darkness, in the light, or wherever it's at, he said, I've not stopped. I've not stopped. And I tell you what, we don't know where God's providence is going to lead us to. We really don't know. We don't know where they're going to lead us to. Up a hill, down a hill, through a river, through a fire. We don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. Wherever he leads us, we're going to follow. Huh? There's an old song says, where he leads me, I'll follow. Where he leads me, I'll follow. Wherever he leads. And you know what? The shepherd is responsible for the sheep, and the sheep are going to follow the shepherd. And we're going to follow him. Job said, I'm going to follow him. And wherever he leads, we're going to follow. We're going to follow. Huh? And look what he says, not only has my foot held his steps, his way have I kept. Oh my, what does he mean by his way? Well, God has a way. Sometimes it led into Egypt. It led Jacob into Egypt. It led Israel into Egypt. It led Israel back out of Egypt through the Red Sea. It led Israel through the desert and through the wilderness for 40 years. But Job said, whatever way he's ordered for me, and his way, not my way. Everybody wants their way. They start out from the time they're big enough to start crying. They want their way. And we want our way all the days of our life. But Job said, I want his way. Do you want his way? Huh? David said like this, Lord, I take heed to my ways. Oh, Lord, I want to follow your ways. And that's what he said, his way have I kept. Whatever way it was, whatever way he led me, I kept it. And what he's saying is, I didn't decline. After this pandemic has made so many people decline. They've not kept his ways. They've declined. When you decline something, that means you stop. You go back. And oh, Job said, I didn't. He said, I kept his ways. I didn't even pause. I'm going to put it on pause. I'm going to put it on pause. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put it on pause, and I'm going to sit around here for a while until I get ready to move again. I'm going to sit around here for a while until I get ready to take up my way again. That's not what he done, no. And he said, I didn't go back either. I didn't go back. You know that story about that man who went out and said, the firstborn who comes to my house, he said, I'll offer a sacrifice, and his daughter come? And he said, I've lifted my hand to God and I cannot go back. And that's what Job said. I've not paused. I've not gone back. He led me and I followed him. He told me and I did it. This was his daily life. It wasn't just a Sunday or a Wednesday or a Sunday night. It was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all the days of his life. This is my life. This is my life right here. Where he leads me, that I've not kept back his steps. This is my life. This was his daily life. This is his daily life. And oh my, look what else he done. Oh my, he is aware of God knowing him. He knows me. He knows the way that I take my foot. And that's what he's talking about here. Neither have I gone back. That's what he says there in verse 12. And look what he says. He loved and appreciated and just delighted in God's word. He said, I esteem the words of his mouth more than what I need to eat. I remembered Ed Elmore come here years ago and before the Lord took him home. And he wouldn't eat supper till after the got back from the service on Sunday night or Wednesday night. You know why he'd do that? So he wouldn't be sluggish and sleepy when he come to the service. He said, I'll eat when I go home. I remember your dad doing it. He said, I'm going to go home and eat some cornbread and milk. I remember him saying that. And he said here, I said, I esteem God's word. Now I got to eat. We all got to eat. And it's wonderful to eat. Good food, there's nothing like good food. But there's nothing like God's word either. God's word will do more for your soul. Food will do something for your body. God's word will do something for your soul. God's word will do something for your mind. God's word will do something for your heart. God's word will do something for your affections. God's word will do something for your will. God's word will do that. Huh? Oh, that's most precious. It's most precious. It's how we live. It's all of this. The word is our life. The church, Christ is our life. And this word is necessary for life. Necessary for us to live it on. God's people, we esteem the words of his mouth. And let me tell you something, that word esteem, you look in the margin, it says laid up or hid. We esteemed it. We laid it up here. We hid it. It's hid. Where's it laid up at? In our hearts. Where's it hid at? In our hearts. In our minds. Huh? David said like this, I've hid thy word in my heart. What for, David? That I might not sin against you. Huh? Let me tell you something. You lay it up and hide it as a treasure. In the 119th Psalm, the whole 119th Psalm, 176 verses, has every single verse has something to do about God's word. Every single one of them. And why do we esteem his word? Well, first of all, God used his gospel, used his word to save us. We're saved by God's word. God sent the gospel to us. We're born again by incorruptible seed. Made new creatures in Christ. We're born again by the word of God saves us. God used his word to save us. And then he uses the same word to keep us. How are we kept from sin? How are we kept from ourselves? How are we kept from self-will? How are we kept from self-love? How are we kept from sin? How are we kept from self-will? How are we kept back from self-righteousness and pride and self-confidence? The word keeps us. I told you the other day that RG down there in Florida, that old man, 87, he said this. He said, if you come in here like that, God's going to take his word and bring you down. And if you're way down here, he's going to take his word and bring you up. You know why you're here? Because the word of God has kept you coming. If you give in to your flesh, what happens when we do that? But that word keeps us kept by the power of God through faith. We're kept in Christ's hands, kept in God's hands. And not only are we kept by it, but we're fed by it. When we come here, we expect to get the table set. Huh? We expect food on the table. What kind of food? Huh? Grace? Christ? His righteousness? We're getting holy manna right now. You know, we sung that song, Holy Manna. Every time we come here, God gives us holy manna. He gives us bread from His Word. He feeds us. You come in here sometimes, and you know, you're just your mind's everywhere, and then God, all of a sudden, He gets your mind, gets you centered on that, and next thing you know, you said, oh, boy, oh, Joe, I don't know how many times you said, I had to put sideboards on my plate, I believe. Got my plate full this morning. And that's what we're to do. And the Word feeds us. Feeds us. Oh, it feeds us so good. It feeds us. Babies, you know, they start out on milk. And then they go to baby food, and then they go a little. And that's what we do. We have to start out with milk. And as we grow and grow and grow, God, you know what causes us to start growing? God's Word. Huh? God's Word. You know, these preachers come down here that haven't been preaching very long. Aaron Greenleaf been preaching, what, 7 or 8 years maybe? I don't know, 10? Not very long. Cody Henson? Gabe hasn't been preaching all that long. But here's the thing about it. What caused these men to be have the depth of preaching that they have and the ability to preach it to them? They was fed by their pastors. They was fed the Word of God. And as they fed that Word, they took that Word and they laid it to heart, and God gifted them. They had to be fed. And now they've learned how to come and feed somebody else. Huh? Only God can do that. Huh? Oh my, I want you to look with me in Psalm. Keep Job 23, and I want you to look with me in Psalm 19. Psalm 19. This is about God's Word. Esteem means to hide, laid up. It's a treasure. Oh, what a treasure it is. He said, you know, a good man out of the treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. Look what he said here in verse 7. The law of the Lord. And when you look in the margin, that law means doctrine. I told you different things that the law means. It means the whole Word of God. Here it means the doctrine of the Lord. The doctrine of God is perfect. And you know what it does? It converts the soul, changes the soul, takes that soul and turns it. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Whatever God says, it's sure, positive, it's real. And I tell you what, it takes simple people like us and make us wise where it counts. It makes us wise in Christ, makes Christ to be our wisdom. Huh? And then look what else. The statutes of the Lord are right. Oh, everything God says is right. And you know what it does? It rejoices our heart. It makes our heart glad. And the commandment of the Lord is pure. And oh, it gives light to our eyes. makes our eyes to be able to see. And then look what else he says. The fear of the Lord is clean. Oh, I tell you, the fear of the Lord cleanses you. And it's a clean thing. It makes you turn to Him. And that the fear of the Lord is enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are right and true, righteous altogether. Whatever God does is exactly right. Exactly right. And I tell you, listen to this now. God's Word, the law of the Lord, the doctrine of Christ, the testimony of God, the statutes of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, they're more to be desired than gold. Huh? Gold, yea, much than much fine gold, and always sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, listen to this now, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there's great, great reward. Oh my, no wonder Job said, I esteemed your word. And I'll tell you, go back over here, instead of putting in the words of his mouth more than my necessary food, instead of food, put in there my necessary, it's a, you know, put purpose in there. What's your determination? What is more precious to a man than his own will and his own way? But Job felt and believed God's truth to be more precious than anything else. Look what God said about Job over here in chapter 1, verse 8. This is what God said about it. This is why God, that's why he believed the word of the Lord. That's why he believed it. And he put, you know, this is my purpose, this is my determination, my food. God's word is more than necessary food. That's my purpose. That's my determination. That's my will. That's my way. And look what he says here about Job in verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and absolutely hates evil. That's what God said about him. No wonder he said, I've kept his steps. I've kept his steps. And I tell you, it's not just receiving in the head, but a love in the heart. A love in the heart. Receive the love of the truth. And then look what else is back over here in Job 23. Look what else happens here. He recognized God's sovereignty. He acknowledged God's sovereignty. He said, he is in one mind, and who can turn him? What his soul desireth, even that he doeth. He's saying, you know, he said, God's sovereign. He can do whatever he wants to with me. He put me in this position. Ain't that what he says? He said, men, you know, they impugned Job's character. And these men that Job's comforters, they impugned the character of God Almighty. Said, Job, God's punishing you for your sin. If God, Christ died for your sin, you've already been punished. And that's what Job understood. And they impugned the purpose of God. But Job here, he says, listen, you all may impugn God's character. You may impugn God's purpose. But I'm telling you here that God is in one mind. Oh, he was aware of God's purpose. He's got one mind. He's got one way. He's got one will. He's got one purpose. He's in one mind. Who can turn him? What he said, his mind is unalterable. And you know, you hear people say all the time, preachers say this, it's awful. Awful. That they do this. And I was as guilty as anybody else. And I'm thankful, oh, bless God that he saved me from that. But here's the thing. People say, I believe if we was to pray, I believe we can change God's mind. We can change God's purpose. I believe your will can change God, to that God would be willing to save you if you're willing for him to save you. And they think that his will is alterable. But his will is unalterable. He's in one mind. Why doesn't he change his mind? Why doesn't he change his purpose? He's free. He can do what he wants to. He's the freest person in the whole universe. And I tell you what, why doesn't he change? Why doesn't he do that? Because if it's perfect to start with, why in the world would you change? If you're mutable, why would you change? Huh? Oh, if it's perfect, it don't need any improvement, does it? Huh? Oh, my. God needs no improvement. His will needs no improvement. His purpose needs no improvement. His words need no improvement. His mind and his purpose is perfect. Perfect. And that's what he's saying here. He said, oh, God's sovereign. And I tell you, who can change? And then not only that, but it's effectual. Look what else he says. There in verse 13. And what his soul desires, even that he doeth. Now, God uses words to accommodate, you know, his desire is like his will. And what he's saying is, whatever he desires, that's what he does. You know, he doeth his will. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And nobody can stay his hand or say unto him what you're doing. Look over with me. Keep Job and look in Isaiah 46. Look in Isaiah 46. I love these verses over here. Verse 9. He whatsoever he desires, he does. He does. His will is effectual. Can you imagine somebody telling God that he can't do something? But people actually say that. But whatever he wills, he does. He does. And that's why we say, Lord, your will be done. Do for me. And look what he says here in verse 9 of Isaiah 46. God said, remember. I want you to remember something. Remember the former things of old. Back when I created the world. I spake and it was done. I commanded and it stood fast. For I am God. And there's nobody else. I am God, and there's none like me. I declare the end before I ever start. And oh my. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel, my will, my purpose shall stand. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do everything that pleases me. Huh? Oh, and it's not only is it effectual, but it's personal. He says, look, he says there in verse 14, back over here in our text. Not only is it effectual, he does what he will, but he said it's personal. Said he. He's in one mind who can, he performs the things that is appointed for me. Not only is it effectual, but it's effectual in my life. And that's what he said. It's personal. He performs the things that's appointed for me. You know what the scriptures tells us plainly? That he performs. Paul said in Philippians 1:6, I'm confident of this one thing, that he which begun a good work in you, God has to start the work. And you believe God would start a work and not be a good work? And he says, it's God which worketh in you and is confident of this one thing, that God which hath begun in you a good work in you, you know what he said? He will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. I'm going to keep going. Keep it on. You know why we keep keeping on? Because God keeps keeping on. And oh my. If you know it's God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We are his workmanship, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should work in. All things work together for good. That's that good work God started. For good. To them that love God. To them that are called according to his purpose. For who, and here's the next word. For whom he did foreknow. Listen to this. He did predestinate. What did he predestinate them to? To be conformed to the image of his son. And them he predestinated. He called them. Where did he call them? With his word. Secondly, he justified them. Thirdly, he glorified them. And then that's why Paul said, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, that's what Job was saying here. God has a purpose for me. He performs what he does for me and my life and everything that he's performed it for me. He's performed it for me. Now the hairs of his eye and his will is for me. And oh my, thank God he's for us. And he has a purpose for us. And I tell you what, that's whatever it is, he'll get us through it. And then look what it's done for him. It produced in him a reverence and a fear for God. Look what he says there in verse 15. He said, therefore am I troubled at his presence. You know, God is so above me, so beyond me. I can't change him. His will's unalterable. And oh, he said, I'm afraid. I'm troubled at his presence. When I consider him, I'm afraid. Now, what does that mean? When he says, I'm afraid, that means that I have the fear of God in me. God can do anything with us at the snap of a finger. The snap of a finger. I know of two people, real recently, that they got diagnosed and neither one of them is going to live another 2 or 3 months. One's young, the other a little older. You know what they said? I listened to one of them preach last week, Wednesday night. You go listen to it. D. Parks. He preached down there at College Grove. Oh, what a good message. What a good message. Go listen to him. Listen to him. When we were down in Florida, he preached. And I tell you what, you're talking about needing God. You know, that's what he said. I'm afraid. You know, when we talk about being afraid of God, God can change our lives just that quick. John Newton said, only difference between us and being an idiot is a rock placed in the right place at the right time. That's all it takes, ain't it? And oh my. And he said, I'm afraid when I consider. That's what David said. When I look at the stars and sun and moons that I have ordained, I say, what in the world is man? What is man? That you'd even think about him. Let him cross your mind. Let him cross your mind. And oh my. This is one thing that men are now. They're not afraid of God. Why should men be afraid of God? He loves them. Why should men be afraid of God? Christ died for them. Why should they be afraid of God? Nobody goes to hell. Everybody goes to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven to see their loved ones. I got to see them again. Oh, at least they're at peace now. They lived in hell, lived like hell, died like hell, but yet they're at peace now. No fear of God before their eyes. None. If I've got any children who have the fear of God before their eyes, I don't know it. If I have a grandchild that knows has the fear of God, I don't know it. Does any of your children have the fear of God? Any of your grandchildren have the fear of God in them? Oh, no. You know, they say, I'll see them again one of these days. You know how many people I know that's already gone to glory? Just in the last couple of years, Bill Grisham, Bruce Daly, Gary Spracker, Becky Spracker, Lola and Larry Matthews, Barb, Herman. I know all these folks are going to glory. I know how many people from this congregation are going to glory. And I'll know Abraham when I see him, and I'll know Isaac when I see him, and I'll know Jacob when I see him. But I'm not going there. I don't care who I see, as long as I see Christ. We'll know one another. But that has nothing to do with this flesh. And that's why there's no fear of God in anybody's eyes. No wonder James asked this question. What is your life? What is your life? Some of you all started out so young, and now you're old. And you ain't got much life left. But here's the thing. What is your life? That's what he said. Hold my hand out there. That's how long your life is. What is it? It's a vapor. It appears for a little moment. It's like grass. Grass is dead. But oh my. And I tell you, that's what he said. Look what he said. He felt his weakness. Look what he says there in verse 16. God maketh my heart soft. Oh, boy. God, I tell you what you want God to do for you right now. Lord, please come make my heart soft. Take this old hard heart and make it soft. Take this old hard heart soft. Soften it up. Tender it up. Soften it up for the feel. Soften it up, Lord, where it can be touched with other people's burdens and heartaches and sorrows. Huh? Oh, my. And why is, he says, make my heart soft. Make it soft. I don't have no trouble making my heart hard, but Lord, you have to soften it up. Then look what else he said here. And the Almighty troubles me. I tell you what, if God ever troubles you, be thankful for it. If he ever wakes you up and troubles you over yourself or somebody else, give thanks to God for it. Huh? You just trouble us over sin. Trouble us. Oh, trouble us. Oh, Almighty troubles me. If he troubles you over things, be thankful that he troubles. You know how many people he leaves alone, never bothers them, never troubles them, never don't even pay any attention to them. But thank God he comes in there and troubles our hearts, troubles our minds, troubles our sleep, troubles us. Oh, Lord, trouble me over myself. Trouble me over others. Trouble me over... I'm troubled over the conditions that's around us in this world. And then look what he said. He was thankful. He was thankful for what God's done for him. He said, Lord, he said, I'm thankful that I was not cut off before the darkness. You know, and he was... You know, God put him in a dark place when he took everything he had. I mean, he was in a dark, dark place. Dark place. And he said, I'm thankful that you never cut me off before you put me in this place. He says, you could have cut me plumb off and said, I don't want nothing to do with you, Job. But God took everything from him and he's left in darkness. And he said, I was so thankful that you didn't cut me off before the darkness. And I'm thankful that he's not covered my face in darkness, that he's gave me a face to see him, to behold him. Huh? And oh my, oh Lord. He said he covered the darkness of my face. Sometimes God covers our face in darkness, our heart with darkness, and our understanding with darkness. But ain't you grateful that he don't leave us that way? He knows, and Job started out saying, he knows the way that I take. And he said, and he got me in darkness, and he put me there. And when he's done with me, I'm going to be gold on the other side of this. Oh, God is God. And his way of dealing with us as individuals is altogether different. He deals with us as a group, as a congregation of believers, but he deals with every one of us differently. Oh, our great, blessed God in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you for your word. Oh, your word is so precious, so powerful, so clean, so pure. And Lord, it changes us. It changes us from a moment that we're just lifeless to where we're lively, where we have a hard heart and then it's tendered, where we don't seek you and then with all our hearts we seek you. Oh Lord, your word is clean, pure. And Lord, we praise you for it. Praise you for the gospel. Praise you for your word. Praise you for your people. Praise you for what you do in our hearts and souls. Thank you for the life you give us in Christ. And thank you, Lord, that you've kept us, and will keep us. And when you've tried us, we're all going to come forth as gold in the end. Not only will we come forth as gold, but we'll walk on streets of gold. We praise you and thank you. Save you people in this place. Bless you, dear saints. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Well, we'll see you tonight, God willing, 6:00.